Imagine you are unafraid. Well, okay, you're afraid, but you're doing it anyways, because you're more afraid of not doing it. Imagine making your own rules, your own playbook, your own red light, green light on everything in your life. Your beauty, your body, your health, your success, your entire freaking life. Imagine feeling fully heard and fully seen and exactly who you are, leaving no part of yourself uncovered. If you're ready for that, then you are ready for Taking Up Space, the podcast. Here, we are having the tough conversations, and we're ready to heal our trauma. Not only are we sharing our stories, we are owning them, big time. In this space, we embrace ourselves fully, owning our bodies as they are, owning all of our uniqueness. No more playing it safe, no more staying quiet, and no more letting society or diet culture call the freaking shot. It's time we take up the space that is meant for us and make our own rules, define our own beauty, and define our own freaking lives. We all have space on this earth meant for us. We all have a story, a passion, and a purpose. And they're meant to be shared. They're meant to be heard. So let's take up space. What happens if you don't lose the weight? And why do you want to be in a smaller body to begin with? Is it for aesthetics? Is it just because you think you'll look better? Because losing weight doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be healthier. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, for example, my recent blood work and a full workup, I was perfectly healthy within normal ranges on everything, and there was not a concern from a health standpoint that my physician had. And my BMI puts me in the morbidly obese category. So, therefore, if I were to lose weight by whatever means, is that going to change those numbers? Maybe not, maybe so. But maybe they'll change them in a negative way. But why do I need to lose weight to be healthier when I'm clearly already healthy? So why are you trying to lose weight in the first place? I'm just very concerned and very curious, rather, as to why you even want to lose weight. And my thought is the desire to lose weight is a very diet culture thought. And because why? Like, just tell me why you want to lose weight. Like, I am now eating for my body in a way that makes my body feel its best, that I feel energized, I feel, you know, that I have the good energy, and that I don't feel like I have stomach aches, I don't feel like I have headaches, I don't feel fatigued, I don't, you know, I literally just feel my best. I feel like I can push through my workouts really well, I feel like I sleep good at night, all those things. Literally, I'm eating in a way that honors my body and how it feels, but I'm also honoring the psychological aspect of food, and I'm making sure that I actually enjoy my food. And I'm not centering my choices around what's quote-unquote good and bad, what I should and shouldn't do, those sorts of things. I'm not labeling my foods. I'm not being, you know, upset if I'm eating cake or candy or cookies. I'm enjoying those without guilt, but within reason, within the limits of my body and what feels good. And if that results in weight loss at some point down the road, then so be it. But if not, so be it too. Because there is a small part of me that, sure, would hope that it would result in weight loss. But when I ask myself why, the answer is very diet culture-like. It's because we live in a society that still praises a smaller body, that it still praises that a smaller body is a better body in any way, shape, or form, that a smaller body is more appealing, a smaller body is more attractive, a smaller body is this, it's that, it's whatever, and we are not living in a world that is accepting of all body types, and all body shapes, and all body sizes, and all body colors. So therefore, the small desire, as small as it is still very rooted in diet culture. And so, you know, you have to do what's best for you and what you feel you want. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but that is my question. You're going to pursue weight loss and you think that you can do it in a healthy manner and you can do it with, you know, out being a part of diet culture and with, you know, having intuitive eating at the forefront. Well, then let me ask you, what happens when you don't lose weight? What happens if you are doing everything intuitively as possible and on all of your efforts to lose weight, but you're not seeing the results? You're not actually losing weight. Or what if even the opposite, you start gaining weight? What are you going to do? How are you going to feel? Are you going to start taking more extreme action? I mean, you're just heading back into diet culture. That is what we're doing. If you don't see the weight loss results doing it in a quote-unquote intuitive manner, what then? That's the question I have for anybody who is trying to lose weight and do it in what they're calling a healthy, intuitive way. Because at what point? At what point is your intuitive eating relationship becoming a more controlled, restricted, monitored relationship where you're now not seeing the results you want when you're being intuitive? So now you're being more conscious and more controlling, even if that is in the most innocent form. Because what, you can say, oh, I really want that chocolate chip cookie, but then you're going to say, oh, but my body really doesn't need it. My body really doesn't need it. And how many times are you going to say that to yourself until it gets to a point where you find yourself severely craving that cookie? Are you going to honor your craving still? I hope so. But if you do, is it with honoring your cravings and being intuitive going to lead you to weight loss? It very well might not. It might, but it probably won't. And so that's what I'm saying is, if what if being this healthy, intuitive, sustainable you doesn't lead you to weight loss? Are you gonna be okay with that? And if the answer is no, then that means you're willing to do things that are more restrictive, more controlling, more just intentional on weight loss. And that's not intuitive. That's not honoring our body, because our bodies don't need weight loss. For the majority of us, our bodies don't truly need to lose weight. The desire to lose weight is a want. It is something that is perpetuated on us by diet culture. It's not even something we truly want. It's not even something we truly need. And we only think we want it because the way society perpetuates that a smaller body is a better body, a smaller body is a more acceptable body, because that's the world we live in. Okay, so I recorded that snippet in the car when it was fresh in my mind, and I record often when I want to just remember a thought and I can't write it down. Things like that. But it was so good that I wanted to share it. I was on a roll and just so in my passion that I just needed to share that with you guys. But of course, I want to expand on a lot of what was said. And this is kind of like a part two to, you know, the last episode of where we're talking about, can intuitive eating and weight loss coexist? Is there such a thing as intuitive weight loss? And, you know, in the last episode, I did mention that I believe there's a narrow space where intuitive eating and getting rid of diet culture in your life and pursuing weight loss can coexist. It's very narrow. And, you know, the more that I've done the digging within my own thought process and, you know, returned to some education and thought about it and all of that good stuff, I think that space is even more narrow. Because when you think of the definition of weight loss and you think of why you would want to lose weight in the first place, the whole idea of wanting to lose weight, the whole idea of quote, quote, needing to lose weight is a diet culture thought. It is literally only taught to us by diet culture. If diet culture and the media didn't exist and they never portrayed this concept that a smaller body and a thinner body is a better body, quote, quote, or that in order to be worthy, to be more accepted and all of those similar things, you have to be in this ideal type of body, which is a smaller body, a thin body, et cetera, we would never even think that anything other than that is less than, is less desirable, less acceptable.
not as beautiful, anything of the sort. So we would never then think if we are somebody in a mid-sized body, a larger body, a medium body, any type of body other than the one that diet culture and society and the media portray as, quote, quote, the best body, then we wouldn't think that our body is any different. We wouldn't think our body is any worse. We wouldn't think anything at all. We would just say, this is my body, that's your body, and we would all go on our lives in our merry little way. So the idea that you think you need to lose weight is diet culture mentality. There is nothing that states that a bigger body is unhealthy. We know that we can have health at all different types of sizes and shapes and weights. And there is not only one size and there's not only one weight range that is healthy. And there's tons of studies that say, they say there's a correlation between a larger body or a certain BMI and certain health issues. But that's not in all cases, and that's merely a correlation. I have always, a little side note, if you ever take any piece of information from me and you learn anything from any time that you spend hanging out with me on this podcast, let it be this. Read your research. Ask who funded the study. Who did the study? How did you do the study? Was there a control group? Was it blind? Was it done without bias? How did you pick your, you know, your test subjects? Was it random? Or was there some bias in how you chose it? And really just dig deep into how the research was done, because a lot of times it's, you know, politically pushed, or it really isn't showing a cause. It's showing a correlation, which those are vastly different things. And sometimes these companies who are putting out research studies, they want the answer to be a certain thing. So they might skew their research study, or they actually might only share with you the results of the study, and they might leave parts out that are imperative. Like a lot of research around weight and around dieting actually only follow participants a couple, like within, I think it's like 3 months sometimes, after, you know, they're done dieting or after the research is done. But what about 6 months? What about a year later? They don't do any follow-up with them to show you that they regain all the weight, and some of them even more. So always look at the quality of the research when somebody's telling you something. Ask questions, get curious, and dig deep. That's it. Okay, so that was a little side tangent. But getting back to it is... I guess I kind of lost where I was when I get on these little side tangents. But we have all these articles and stuff that show that a larger body equals poor health. And if you look at most of those studies, they only at best show a correlation. They don't show a causation. And we know there is tons of exceptions. I'm personally one of them. Like in that little snippet I shared with you, I am. According to the trash-ass BMI chart, I'm morbidly obese. I had back in September, so what, a little over 6 months ago, a full workup, blood work and everything. Every single one of my numbers was in normal ranges. There was not a single thing that sparked attention, nothing that was concerning. I am healthy as can be, as can be. I don't have health issues. I don't even take medication on a daily basis. So how is that true? If I'm morbidly obese, according to this BMI chart, then obviously I have to have all these health issues. I must be pre-diabetic. I must be this, that, and the other, which don't even be started on pre-diabetic. That's a term made up by the industry themselves to scare people into diets. Anywho, so if I can't be the only exception in this world, there's just no way, shape, or form. And so it's just hogwash to think that we have to change our body shape and size and we have to lose weight in order to be healthy. That's just not true. I mean, for some of us, maybe. Everybody has a very unique setup. But most of us, there's nothing that says we have to lose weight to be healthy. Can we improve our health by doing other things? Sure. But that doesn't necessarily mean those other things even mean losing weight. Or that if we do these healthy things to improve our health, that we're even going to see weight loss. Some of us, for a lot of us, it might even be we have to see weight gain in order to be a healthier version of ourselves. So it's all over the map. It's not a one-size-fits-all, as they want it to seem like, oh, lose weight, be smaller, you'll be healthier. It's not that simple. It's really not. We're all unique. We're all different. We all have different genetics. We all live different lives. We all have different, psychological upbringings, different childhood environments, and all of those things imprint on us as well. So much makes up who we are, and that plays a part. So there's just no way. It's not that simple as be smaller, you'll be healthier. With that being said, if someone were to ever say that they figured out how to be intuitive with their weight loss, they have figured out that I can guarantee that you'll lose weight intuitively if you just be intuitive. Not really. Not quite how it works. So if somebody ever tells you that, hey, there's this idea of intuitive weight loss, do what I say, or hey, listen to your body, but only listen to your body to this way, shape, or form, that's usually what it ends up being like. I kind of go into this example in that little snippet when I'm in the car about, like, the cookie, you know? And so let's dive into that a little bit more. When you learn to be intuitive with yourself, you know, you learn to hear your body and all of its cues and all of its signals and the things that it tells you. It tells you when it's hungry. It tells you when it's full. It tells you when it needs to rest. It tells you when it needs to go to the bathroom. It tells you when it needs water. It tells you, you know, when you need to take a rest. It has certain cravings for certain types of foods because maybe you need a nutrient in, I don't know, that orange or that salad, or you're craving maybe a hamburger or eggs because you really need a nutrient that's in those foods, that's dense in those foods, and your body makes you crave it so that it's like, hey, we need that. Let's send the signals to get her to crave that, to give us what we need. Our body really does work that way. It really is amazing. So we're learning to be intuitive eaters, and we're learning to hear our body and be intuitive with our body, and always, even with exercise, with our careers, with our friends, our relationships, we're learning to be just intuitive all around. Okay, so when we do that, there is nothing that states when you start to implement listening and honoring your body and what it needs, that that's going to lead to weight loss. If that was the case, and if we were all intuitive eaters, we all unlearned diet culture, learned how to honor our body and listen and nurture it, and really give it what it wants, then we would all just, boom, drop weight. We'd all be in that smaller body that diet culture and society perpetuates. We all have similar looking bodies. We'd all be similar weights. But it doesn't really work that way. You know, there's some of us who, you know, end up being intuitive with our body, and over time, whether it's a period of 6 months or 6 years, they do experience weight loss. There's people who, you know, learn to be intuitive with themselves again, and their body really doesn't change at all. And then there's people who learn to be intuitive with themselves and they gain weight. But most of us are probably going to learn to be intuitive with our bodies and see a bunch of different changes, whether that's sometimes we gain weight, sometimes our body stays the same, sometimes it loses a little bit of weight, and then it goes here, and then it goes there, and it's all over. All of them, right? But the thing about it being intuitive is that we're not controlling it. We're just honoring our bodies, and we're allowing our bodies to do what they need to do. We're allowing our bodies to do what's best for our bodies. And we are honoring what's best for our bodies by being intuitive and by listening to them. So, okay, let's walk down this road. You're an intuitive eater. You know, you've unlearned diet culture, you've broken up with diet culture, done the work, it's been several years, for example's sake, and you feel really, really good as an intuitive eater. But then you have this notion where you want to lose weight, you're desiring weight loss, and you decide, I'm going to pursue weight loss. I'm going to pursue it. Okay, but how? How? That's my first question, is how are you going to pursue weight loss? Are you going to stop being intuitive? Because if that's the case, then you're not intuitive, right? And it's not going to be intuitive weight loss, quote, quote, if you stop being intuitive. So what are you going to do? What changes are you going to make? Okay, so you might say, I'm going to continue to just be as intuitive with my body as possible. Great. I love it. You got me. I'm listening. So then, with the cookie example, and kind of, for me personally, I have learned if I eat a lot of foods high in sugar, I will end up with headaches, stomach aches, and I just will feel crummy. I'll feel very fatigued. I don't feel good. So that's just how I've learned that my body reacts, and my body doesn't like a lot of sugar. That doesn't mean I don't love candy. Trust me. Fruit slices and jelly beans, which I know are the world's hatest candy, most hatest, not even a word, most hatest, most hated candy. I love them. Okay. Doesn't mean I never eat them. Same with like chocolate chip cookies. Love them. Yeah. Being intuitive might look like, okay, I'm going to have one cookie or I'm going to have a handful of jelly beans, rather than the whole bag of jelly beans or rather than three cookies. That's intuitive because you know, okay, I know that I'm not going to feel my best. Or a more common example would be, I know if I drink one glass of wine or one beer, then I'm going to be perfectly fine. You know, even maybe two. But if I go to three or four or five, I'm not going to feel so great the next day. I have a big presentation at work tomorrow. It's Friday. It's been a long week. Think I'm going to stick to one glass so I can feel my best tomorrow. Great. That's an intuitive decision. That's knowing how your body is going to respond, how you're going to feel, how you want to feel, and making a decision, an intuitive decision based on it. So that is where I think a narrow window of being intuitive and still making what we would consider kind of like, quote, unquote, healthy decisions kind of fit together in a happy, harmonious manner. This is where it starts to get tricky. This is where I feel it can start going sideways and you can start to travel down the road again of being back in diet culture frame of mind, diet culture behaviors, diet culture patterns, things like that is okay. So then you're being intuitive and what happens when you're not seeing the results that you want? Because like we were just saying, being intuitive with your body doesn't guarantee that you're going to lose weight. There is nothing that says intuitive eating and being intuitive with your body and yourself in every way is going to lead to anything, especially weight loss. There's no promises. There's no guarantee. Intuitive eating and weight loss are completely separate. So what happens when you're being super intuitive? Like you're literally feeling like this is the best it's ever been for you. Like you're hearing your body loud and clear all the time. You feel on your game. You feel so good. But yet you're not seeing the weight loss that you want. Your body's not changing in the ways that you want. Maybe it's changing in the ways that you don't want it to change. So now what? Now what are you going to do? Are you going to stop being intuitive? Are you going to start making different choices? And maybe you do. And maybe those choices don't necessarily impact your physical health or your psychological and emotional well-being in a negative way at first, or maybe at all. But let's look at an example of maybe what a decision that would be innocent at first could be, what it could look like, and how it can trickle quickly into diet culture. So you're not seeing the weight loss that you want. And you decide, you know, I know my body doesn't feel well when I eat sugar, when I eat, you know, cookies, candy, etc. I have a craving for a chocolate chip cookie right now, but my body doesn't need it. But why does your body not need it? You know that if you eat one cookie, that you'll feel fine. So is it because that it's going to hinder your weight loss efforts? So are you giving up eating that cookie? Are you passing on eating that cookie, choosing not to eat the cookie because you are putting weight loss before honoring your craving? And that's a fine line because, of course, we want to honor our cravings, but we want to honor our body. And that goes back to being intuitive with eating one cookie versus six, if you know that's how your body's going to feel. But now you're choosing potentially to not eat the cookie because it's going to hinder your weight loss efforts. And so that might seem innocent in the moment, you know, but the one time it happens, and maybe you just do it that one time, but then how many times are you going to do it? How many times are you going to pass on a cookie or a cake? And then what does it become? you go to a cookout over the summer and they have a bunch of desserts and fruit salad and potato salad, macaroni salad, pasta salad, hamburgers, hot dogs, you name it. And you're passing on multiple things now. Or, you know, this is the seventh time in this month that you've craved the chocolate chip cookie and you said no. Well, how many times and how many different foods do you have to say no to before it becomes restriction? Before you're restricting food? And then how are you going to feel when you do eat that cookie? If you pass on this cookie one time because you're thinking it might hinder my weight loss efforts, when you do eat a cookie, maybe next week you crave a cookie and you decide to honor your cravings, are you going to feel guilty? Are you feeling shameful? Are you feeling like, ugh, I really shouldn't have eaten that cookie? It's not going to help me lose weight. I don't know. Maybe this is going to be something that you would find yourself in. Maybe it's a little different for you. These are just potential scenarios. And so you're just kind of heading back into behaviors potentially that are very diet culture-like. I mean, not to mention this desire to lose weight in and of itself is driven by diet culture. So it's simply a diet culture thought. Like, without diet culture, we wouldn't even know such thing as weight loss. So it can just be a very tricky, slippery slope. And you can find yourself making decisions in the efforts of weight loss that have you putting the weight loss before honoring your body, before being intuitive and having that healthy, you know, even playing field with food and with your body. And it's just a very, very slippery slope. So one question of the couple questions that I would ask anybody who wants to pursue weight loss when they also want to be an intuitive eater and not be a part of diet culture is, why do you want to lose weight in the first place? Why? Because, I mean, you don't have to lose weight to be anything that you want to be. And in a way, your desire to lose weight is almost like idolizing that smaller body. Like, there's still a part of you that thinks, yeah, everything will be a little bit better if I just lose weight, if I'm in that smaller body, you know? And so it's just, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as being intuitive and having intuitive weight loss, because you can't be an intuitive eater and put weight loss on the same playing field, or worse, before. Because if you put weight loss before being an intuitive eater, being intuitive with yourself in every way, shape, or form, you just can't. Because what happens if you're being intuitive and you don't lose weight? Are you going to be sad? Are you going to be upset? Are you going to be mad? Are you going to feel like a failure? Are you going to feel like you're awful or you're ugly or you're unworthy or you're unacceptable? Like, are you going to be upset, mad, frustrated? I mean, what? Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to feel like if you don't lose weight being intuitive with yourself? That's what you have to work on. That's fine if you, well, really anything you do is fine, because I can't tell you what to do and I don't want to tell you what to do. But having this little seed in your back of your mind that, like, you hold out that little hope that being intuitive with yourself 100% leads to weight loss, that doesn't make you a failure. That doesn't make you a horrible person. Doesn't mean you failed at being intuitive with yourself. And that might always be there for you. It's there for me. But you can't be that intuitive eater. You can't be that intuitive person with yourself and still intentionally do things to pursue weight loss. That's just literally by definition impossible. It's literally like you're standing in front of a fire, pouring water on it in one hand and pouring gasoline on it in the other. It's just not something that's gonna work. You can be an intuitive eater and hope for weight loss. You can hope that by being very intuitive with yourself and honoring your body in every way you can to the best of your abilities leads to weight loss. Sure. But what are you going to do when you don't lose the weight? That's what you need to work on. That's the part of you that needs the work. Because if you can say, you know what, I'm going to be the best intuitive eater I can. I am going to get back to being the most intuitive person that I was born as. In every aspect of my life, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be so intuitive. And you do the work and you get there. And you're going to say, you know what? If I do lose weight one day, I'm going to be kind of happy about it. I'm going to be pretty happy about it. I'm going to be okay with that. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be good with it. Fine. But you also need to be able to say that if I don't ever lose weight, that's okay too. That I am still the same beautiful, amazing, wonderful, strong, brave, brilliant, so smart, so caring, so compassionate, so everything. I'm so the same person. I'm the same daughter, the same mother, the same sister, the same aunt, the same cousin, the same partner, the same friend, the same coworker that I was in any body I've ever had, any shape, any size, at any point. I'm still the same amazing me that I've always been, regardless if I ever lose weight, regardless of my size, regardless of anything. That it doesn't matter. You need to be okay with whatever outcome happens, and that's the sweet spot. That doesn't mean you're not going to have days where you look in the mirror and you struggle with what you see. That does not mean that there aren't days and things that you go through that challenge your thoughts, that you have to work to reframe those thoughts, put them back into the truth and into the place that you know they need to be, and that you won't be challenged by the society that we live in. But when you can be okay regardless of the outcome, that is the sweetest spot you can be. And that's the spot I hope and pray for each and every one of you. The goal is not to ditch your health. The goal is not to love your body each and every day. The goal is to not be thinking about your body each moment of each and every day. Like, there is so many more important things in this world than your body and what it looks like. Seriously. So I just felt like I really needed to dive in a little bit deeper to really hone in on why intuitive eating and weight loss just really, really can't exist. And, you know, trying to put it together to think that there's a small, small, narrow spot where it can exist. I mean, that's a stretch. It is a stretch. I mean, and the more I think about it, the more I think that space is so narrow, it's almost closed up. And, you know, even like, okay, like seeing somebody who is an intuitive eater, you know, kind of praising somebody else for, hey, great job, you've lost X amount of pounds, or hey, I see you look like you've lost weight. Like, you're just praising that their body's now better in a smaller version of itself. Like, you're doing what diet culture does. You're praising somebody for being in a smaller body, like their body now is better than the body that they had. There's no difference. It's not better. It's just different. It's just different. And that's where we need to be. There needs to be this level of neutrality that is so normal. And that's when we know we've really succeeded, which is a long time coming, I know. But once we get to a place where bodies are just a neutral thing and a body's just a body regardless, a smaller body is not a better body, it's just a different body. And a larger body is not a bad body, it's just a different body. When we get to that place, that's when we've won. That's when we finally maybe can rest our hats and say, you know what, we've done it. Because nobody, smaller, larger, whatever, no matter the size, no matter the color, none is better, none is worse. We're all just different. We're all just different. That's what it is. And I'm just so sick of thinking like we have to give a shit about what our body looks like and that it equates anything, because it doesn't. Big, small, 100, 200, 300, it doesn't matter. We are the same person that we've always been and that we always will be. And we can grow and work on who we are as a person and be better humans and be better people and be more compassionate people, smarter people, more courageous people, more, helpful people, more lovable people, regardless of our freaking body size. Your children don't care what your body looks like. Your parents don't really care what your body looks like. Your sisters don't really care what your body looks like. Your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, your pets. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And if anybody cares, and if you think that, oh, well, the comments, the whatever, they're just a victim of diet culture like we've all been. And we're all trying to learn so hard to know different, to do different, to be better, to do better. But aren't you just so gosh darn exhausted giving a shit about your body size, about your weight? Put clothes on that you love, feel good in your body, and live your life. This whole idea that we still have to lose weight, I'm really getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of hearing it. Like, we don't have to lose weight. You don't have to. And maybe you want to lose weight, and that's your desire. Again, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I can't tell you what to do, and I would never want to tell you what to do. You're the driver of your own seat, so you get to make the decision. You get to decide. You get to make your own rules for your life. But just know, intuitive eating, being an intuitive human being in all areas of your life, and actively pursuing weight loss, they can't coexist. They can't. And I don't even know if they can be on the same airplane. All right, loves, I hope you enjoyed this part two. I hope that maybe it cleared some things up if you were confused about part one. If, I don't know. I feel like this is just a very hot topic lately, and I just wanted to make sure I'm really making it clear why they can't exist. I really want it to be clear, and so that you guys can hear my reasoning and just use that education to your power to make whatever decision that you do make for yourself, because knowledge is power. When we know more, we can make better choices for ourselves, whatever that choice is. So, as always, you guys are amazing. I love each and every one of you, and thank you so much for being here. If you have any questions and you want to chat, you can find me on Instagram at TheAmandaMurphy or email me TheAmandaMurphy@gmail.com. Until next time, loves. Hey guys, thanks for joining me on another episode of Taking Up Space, the podcast. And if you're loving these episodes as much as I am, please, the best thing that you can do to show your love and appreciation is to share the podcast episodes with those that mean the most to you, with those that you feel would appreciate and get something so beneficial out of these episodes. Because that is the sole purpose, is to reach as many people as we can and to help affect and change so many lives for the better. So, I love that you were here with me. And until next time, guys, bye.